10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Oh, horny night. The night before Thanksgiving. Oh my gosh.
There's an old guy who's on the air and they call him Sterling. The bosses hired him on a dare and they call him Sterling. Kind of hip, kind of odd.
Sterling.
Kind of smart, kind of strange.
Sterling.
A different show that's here to stay and they call it Sterling.
All right, it's 7 minutes past the hour. 7 minutes past the hour from Walter M. Sterling. Live national radio show from WGAN in Portland, Maine, to KFBK in Sacramento. There's Viva Las Vegas sitting there in Sacramento refusing to go on the air with me. Now, Viva Las Vegas is so good on the air that she even has her own jingle. We have other contributors who have not yet earned a jingle. It's a radio merit badge that they fight over. They actually fight over, oh, how come you have a jingle? And that's what I want. I want the crew to be at each other's throats. There's some management technique. Did you ever work for an a-hole like that? Did you ever work for an a-hole like that that manipulated the people who worked for her so that they hated each other? Yeah, I was always so busy with tasks when I was a boss. I was always so busy getting things done. It never occurred to me to play them against each other. What a nightmare to work for one of those people. The horniest night of the year, getting back to something important, the horniest night of the year is the night before Thanksgiving. Because the night before Thanksgiving, you and I are looking at 4 days of coast, 4 days of coasting. I don't mean that insanely boring radio station in L.A. On Coast FM, coming up, we'll have James Taylor and a really slow song by Madonna to keep us demographically pure. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. Do we have to have that? Is that necessary? But, you know, if I come on the radio and I say something like, well, why don't we talk about water in the basement? Oh, what? Why aren't you screaming at the Democrats? Well, because I think water in the basement is a lot more important than screaming at the Democrats, just my opinion. I'll tell you what, let's flood your basement. Get back to me. See how that goes. Unbelievable. The night before Thanksgiving, you and I have 4 days to coast. And if we're too sick from a hangover to participate in Thanksgiving, we can just say we have the flu. Why? Oh, it's also flu season, which is a convenient vehicle for you and me, a convenient escape. But it's 4 days of coasting. No work, no sane companies open on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They'd be out of their mind. The worst drunk I ever had. Now, I don't drink. I haven't had a drink in more than your lifetime. But there was a time where I may have. And on Thanksgiving night, the night before Thanksgiving, I'm with Al McGowan of one of the great traffic services and Dick Penn. Now, before I go any further, I have to sidebar and just mention Dick Penn. Dick Penn passed away. But Dick Penn was like the Rush chairman of a fraternity. The guy who could get you tickets. Hey, you need tickets to that? You want to take your girlfriend to that? I can get you those tickets. He's a guy who can get you tickets. In every organization, be it at work or within your family or on your block, there's a guy who can get you tickets. Well, Dick Penn was a guy who could get you tickets. But more importantly, Dick Penn could give you access to the world. I have never seen anything like it before or since. The man worked for me for a while, actually reported to me for a while, so I thought I'd see the secrets behind the door of Dick Penn. I did not. I never saw the secrets, but here's what would happen. We'd go to a restaurant. He'd say, Walter, he'd talk like this. He'd go, Walter, what sort of food would you like to eat? What are you in the mood for, Walter? And I'd say, yeah, it'd be really great if we could have like some decent red sauce Italian food. Oh, I know just the place. I was just talking to my wife about it the other night. Let me make a reservation, Walter, and we'll meet there at 12:15. All right, so we meet at the restaurant at 12:15. me and Dick Penn and probably Al McGowan, because he was always around. We get to this restaurant, and Dick looks at the maitre d' in a way that I never looked at a maitre d'. He stared at them in the eye. It was a laser beam into his head. Hello, I'm here, reservation for three. This is my boss. This is Walter Sterling. And he's heard great things about your restaurant. I hadn't heard a thing about it. He's heard great things about your restaurant. And, of course, Al has been here before. Al's never been there before. And it's so good for me to be here again with you. We'd like the sort of seat that, you know, maybe one of your friends would have. Not who the big shots, not your mother. One of your friends would have. This is Dick Penn going, right? And now we sit down, and it's a great seat. And they start to bring a menu, and the maitre d' rushes over and goes, no, let me order for Mr. Penn. Okay, wow. Now he goes and he orders. I'm not kidding. You can't imagine this. And then I look at Dick and go, how often do you come here? I've never been here before. Like, what? I've never been here before, Walter. But they seem to like you, Walter. And that's the BS. They seem to like you, Walter. They didn't like me. They liked him. This is how he orchestrated life. Now, maybe you know a guy like this. Well, now I'm out Thanksgiving Eve with Dick Penn. And probably Al McGowan. Very big guy. Al was gold because he always had the credit card. That's who you want. You want a guy with a credit card. There we are with Al. Walter, why don't you try the port? Now, the port was the most expensive thing on the menu. And Al McGowan had the credit card. And we were out on Thanksgiving night looking at 4 days of not having to go to work and not having to worry about hangovers. We could just stay in bed, tell everybody we had the flu. I had two glasses of port that night. I had never had it before. I promise you I've never had it since. Oh, my God. It was the worst hangover imaginable. Did you ever have port? It was the worst hangover imaginable. And my brain was being pulled away from my skull. And I don't know what Al McGowan had to drink. It could not have been port. I'll bet you anything, Dick did not have port. I'll bet you I had port. And as punishment for all the times he didn't like me, he Walter, why don't you have the port? I congratulate you. Because if you don't get drunk the night before Thanksgiving, you will have sexo. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Oh, what's this? This is a live radio show as we're driving on I-90 as punishment for all of our trips on the 101. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. Thanksgiving week, so I've made the first of probably 10 trips to the grocery in preparation.
As long as I get a pumpkin pie, I don't care how many trips you have to make.
Coming up on Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out what happened to a Queens senior citizen who armed himself with an illegal handgun to protect himself. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Parking space wars. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night. Portuguese dance clubs. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Florida stories. It's the wildest, weirdest, stupidest, grossest, funniest, sexiest stories from Florida. I'm James Parker. Florida stories is coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. When you're with the Gaffneys, you know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
And we're here once again with stories of living in our over 150-year-old home with our 8 children. Thanksgiving week. the grocery store is already outrageous, a madhouse. But it'll be my first of about 10 trips to get everything we need.
If you weren't so picky, I don't think that that would be the case. Like, if I have a turkey, some potatoes, and a pumpkin pie, I'm fine.
You'll be happy to know the turkey is taken care of.
Right.
The potatoes have been purchased, and the pumpkin pie ingredients. But it's everything else that is a problem, because we shop ingredient first, not price. We have to look at the ingredients, find out what's in it. Like, you know the onions you put in the green bean casserole?
I know the onions because they're my favorite.
Gluten.
Right.
Can't have it.
I wonder if we could find them without gluten. That might take a few more than 10 trips. I see what you're saying.
Right. And the mushroom soup, it has to be this organic, certain type of mushroom. You can't buy the Campbell's.
No, we can't. So I just don't see why we just don't nix the green bean casserole and just go with some green beans. I never had the green bean casserole. That was a your family thing.
I'm happy to nix it.
Then let's just do it.
All right.
Pumpkin
because
pie.
I did buy green beans. And broccoli,
Done.
We can just have that, right?
Right, that's fine, because, I mean, I'll whip up the cream. We'll get the boys will make the pumpkin pie on Wednesday night. We already have Thomas is coming over. His plan is to come make pies on Wednesday night.
These
kids
are the best.
Stick the turkey in, we're done.
We have kids that are, like, amazing bakers.
We do.
So that is, like, the greatest thing ever to teach your kids how to make pies and cakes. Fantastic.
And I will tell you, that is a mom tip 101 for me, is the first thing that you do is when they find a food that they like, teach them how to make it. You'll never have to cook again.
Sweet potatoes have been purchased as well. Pickles, olives, things like that I got for a little snacky.
Snacky is great, but I'm also going to say I grew sweet potatoes all summer long. All summer long, so we are stocked up on the sweet potatoes. So I think you were having a little bit of a moment because you went into the store that shall not be named this morning.
Yeah.
You were having some anxiety
Outrageous.
About it because you didn't take me and I didn't play the claw machine while we were there to make it a fun adventure.
I get it.
And you were a little bit stressed. This is nothing. Here's the key.
I love hearing this.
Here is the key to Thanksgiving. Don't do anything stressful. Don't do anything that's absolutely ridiculous and takes up too much time. Have fun, eat some food, and just be grateful for once.
So I only have one more trip to make then, and that's to the liquor store.
Woo!
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Every damn Sunday night, welcome, 37 past the hour. Here is the legendary Jay Bieber. Jay Bieber, who's executive director of the National Motorists Association. And when I say the National Motorists Association, you probably have this little vision like AAA in your head. No, this is not AAA. This is the evil version of AAA. This is the organization that goes after states and local governments who have tried to adopt or adopted or are enforcing truly insane and stupid on the road rules. And now that we're looking at a very long weekend with a lot of driving, I thought, well, here's somebody you and I can celebrate when we have to deal with the crap on the highways. Jay Bieber, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. How does it feel to be on an important national radio show bigger than John Cobalt's? I don't hear Jay. Hello, Jay. Mr. Jay, executive director, policy, National Motorists Association. I don't hear Jay. Hello, Jay. Test, test, test. I'll start singing. You don't want that. Here, let me play something stupid while we find Jay, because you want to hear Jay. You definitely want to hear Jay. Ready? Okay, let's hear a really good joke. Hold on. I pushed that button.
I learned that racism is passed down generationally, so it's internalized, which makes sense. I was walking home. It was late at night, and this black guy walks towards me, and instinctively, I grab my purse, even though logically, I know he's not for sale. He did steal my wallet, though.
Hello, testing, testing. Come in. Hello, testing.
W2RE. Come in. This is W6RRR. Good evening, Ray. You're 5'9 here in Washington. The White House itself. Over.
W6RRR. W2RE.
W2RE. This is W6RRR. Good evening, Ray. You're 5'9 here in Washington. The White House itself. Over.
W6RRR. W2RE.
Do we have Jay Bieber? Oh, look at that. It's ringing. That's okay. It's good radio. Hey, Jay. Jay Bieber,
hey.
it was like ASMR. We actually heard the ring on the air. It was as though it was a sound effect, and yet it was not. Jay Bieber, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday night on the national radio show. Much bigger than anything on, much bigger than John Cobalt's show, let me tell you that. All right, now, much bigger. National Motorist Association, he's the executive director of the National Motorist Association, as I explained when they were feverishly trying to get you back on the phone. If I say National Motorist Association, it sort of feels like AAA, and it's like, no, this is the opposite of AAA. This is the opposite. This is the evil, dark version of the AAA. This is the organization that goes after the things on the roadways that you and I don't like. Talk to us about the initiative that your organization is fighting about red light cameras.
Absolutely. Actually, you know, since you mentioned AAA, I like to think they're the dark side, because they're actually not helping motorists at all. If you're a member of AAA and you think that they're out there working on your behalf in terms of traffic laws and things like that, they absolutely are not. The National Motorist Association is the only organization that is fighting every day for motorists. And one of the things that we do is we fight against unfair automated enforcement, red light cameras, speed cameras, things of that nature. And, you know, we're working on that all around the country. So whether it's the ridiculous programs in New York City or the programs in Los Angeles, which I was responsible for eliminating that program, and just all around the country, the amount of money that they rake in on these programs is just shocking, and they're all tiny Mickey Mouse violations, not actually dangerous things that our people are doing. It's technical violations, almost 100% of them.
How are you doing? Are you going to be able to fight the red light cameras? Are you going to be able to prevent those from being adopted throughout the country?
Well, you know, we fight wherever we can, and we have stopped a number of programs, whether it's red light cameras or speed cameras or school bus passing cameras, you know, all of these things. We prevented that from happening in Ohio. We've prevented them in a bunch of different cities. I mean, we got rid of red light cameras, Los Angeles, and when I started this back in around 2011, just for my own efforts, not even just as part of the National Motorist Association, there were over 100 red light camera programs in California. Now there's down to like 26, 27. Unfortunately, they just passed a speed camera pilot program, which is going to ticket a whole bunch of people for minor violations, for people just basically driving the way the speed that the road is built for. So all of these programs, they're all about raising revenue. They're all about taking money out of the driver's pockets, because, you know, the government just can never take enough of your money. And this is, you know, these are abusive no matter where they are, and we've been fighting them. Right now we're fighting to prevent them from being expanded in Pennsylvania. Connecticut just passed a law about a year or so ago, and now a whole bunch of cities are starting up these programs, and we're trying to fight back against those. And it's just, you know, it's just incredible what they are doing to the average person. They're just crushing people, you know, with these ridiculous tickets. And most people, you know, just trying to scrape by day after day. I mean, inflation has, you know, ramped up over the last couple of years. It's gotten a little bit of a reprieve recently, but you know, that those higher prices are still out there, and people are just trying to scrape by. And then, you know, you get a $100, a $300, a $500 ticket for these things for a fraction of a second violation you can't even see with the naked eye, or a slow rolling right turn at a red light, your wheels don't just quite stop turning, and they send you a $500 ticket. I mean, it's pretty outrageous.
Jay Bieber is an executive director of the National Motorists Association, an association that actually is fighting against the things you and I hate, and the tolls. Give me a broad stroke about what your organization does against the tolls.
Well, we're against tolling in a lot of different places. I mean, if somebody is building a roadway and they're building a new roadway and they want to toll it to pay for it, that's, you know, that's one possibility. But, you know, I've got something like in New Jersey where they have the Turnpike Authority, and they're raising tolls everywhere on all of the roadways. That when those roadways were built, the people in New Jersey were promised that the tolls would eventually go away. That was in the 60s, and it's in 50s. It never goes away. These are self-perpetuating government organizations, and they have to pay all their, you know, huge salaries, and they, you know, they're raising tolls just continuously. So we're fighting back against the New Jersey toll increase. There's a lot of propositions to toll our interstate roadways, which we've already paid for through our tax dollars.
Yes.
But they want to put tolls on them.
Well, that's because these are criminal organizations that have fuzzy governance. Each state has a different way of governing the toll commissions, and it's all fuzzy math. It's all questionable. It's all crooked, because there's no need for that amount of free cash just coming into any state. It's unbelievable. Jay Bieber, you are a friend of this show. I got bad news for you. You're going to be on this show once a week, and you're going to give us updates on what the National Association of Motorists is doing to make it finally vaguely sane to drive on our highways. I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, Jay. Thanks for being a friend of the show. Thanks for being Sterling every damn Sunday with Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. Coming up in just seconds, we're going to find out about nudity in the movies and other things to get us ratings. This is Sterling every damn Sunday.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Parking space wars. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on tonight's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out what happened to a Queens senior citizen who armed himself with an illegal handgun to protect himself. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Portuguese dance clubs. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Florida stories. It's the wildest, weirdest, stupidest, grossest, funniest, sexiest stories from Florida. I'm James Parker. Florida stories is coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Lesbians in space. Sterling every damn night.
A gold star lesbian is a lesbian who's also a pleasure to have in class.
He's Walter Sterling, and he gives the bosses a fright, 'cause he's kinda unpredictable on Sterling every damn night.
Boom, boom, Hollywood. Sterling every damn night.
Yes, boom, boom, Hollywood is our correspondent in Hollywood. He is our expert on all things behind the scenes. Mateus, did you review any nudity this weekend in the movies?
You know, I want to with great eagerness, I have to tell you. By the way, I think I may have done something to the sacroiliac in my attempt to do the Walter in the last break. You know, you just have to get up and dance and try to do the Walter.
Many have died.
I know. Well, it's like Strip Twister. There's nudity there.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I haven't gotten the steps down because they're not quite clearly explained. Does this come with like a folding plastic map with numbers and color codes you put on the floor?
Remember when you were in high school and there were dances in the gym and there were a group of kids who knew what to do and you didn't?
Yeah,
it's like that.
There's a group of Midnight Misfits who listen to Walter Sterling who do know what to do to that song, but you don't.
And they don't tell us. And then they laugh. They laugh at us.
They're not only do they not tell you, they're not going to talk to you at all.
Well, now, what kind of an attitude is that? I don't know about that.
It's the sort of honesty that listeners have come to expect from me.
Listen, I've been enjoying your show tonight, and you get a gold seal for bravery, and thanks for being great. It's a great show, and I learned a lot about the National Motorist. I did not know that Jay Bieber, who apparently also has a singing career, but it's a different guy, I'm sure.
Different guy, yeah.
Same initials. But yeah, I know, it's remarkable. Well, anyway, I always learned something new about...
It's a very interesting organization, the National Motorists Association, because it's like the dark side of the AAA. This is an organization that fights every single thing on the highway that annoys us.
I think it's great. I think they need to be promoted. And as you suggested, he should come back more often and talk to us about not only what they're doing, but what we may have missed that we should be thinking about.
He'll be on every week. He's great. First of all, he sounds really good. Secondly, he's from Jersey, which saves a lot of time and trouble. I don't have to be nice to him. You know, there's nothing more worthless than doing a show like this and having to be nice to people to get my point across. That's amateur night. With this guy, I just said, okay, so you're going to be on tonight at 10:20 and use your landline. And that was the extent of our conversation. And then I mentioned, by the way, I have a lot more listeners on this show than John Cobalt has because he listens to John Cobalt on KFI. And I just wanted to make it clear to him that this was a bigger deal.
Yeah, well, it is. And I think he'll be a wonderful added feature.
Yes,
so you asked about a movie, and I have one for you. And I'm sorry, there's no nudity because this is, at long last, the conclusion, the after intermission portion of Wicked. Now we have the sequel to Wicked or the second half of Wicked. It's called Wicked for Good. And although many people have said it's no good, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was much better than the first one. Whether it's good or not remains to be seen. I thought it was more entertaining. So this is the, of course, long-awaited second half to Wicked, and it is the film adaptation, naturally, the Broadway musical show, picking up where the last picture ended, that moment that Elphaba, who's played by Cynthia Erivo, becomes the Wicked Witch of the West. And so the story unravels here with Glinda, played by Ariana Grande, grappling with her new role as appointed by the wizard, Glinda the Good. This, while a new character, some girl from Kansas, arrives in a house which is deposited by a tornado. This may be a slightly familiar storyline to those listening. Returning are Michelle Yeoh as Madame Morrible, Jonathan Bailey as Fierro, who for some reason is now the sexiest man in the world, according to one print magazine, Jeff Goldblum as the wonderful Wizard of Oz, at least he's wonderful to watch, and Ethan Slater as Bach. The opening Universal Pictures logo was kind of fun for us movie buffs. They gave us the old-fashioned one with a crystal globe and star, so that was kind of fun for movie nerds. But you know, for the most part, it was well. I even thought that the part that Dorothy, when she appears, was very well done, and I did like this better than the first half. But even with the John Chu direction, which is pretty good, the movie is still overlong, at least two musical numbers too many, and I think the good part of Wicked for Good is that at last it's over. And it did, however, make a nice chunk of change at the box office. You know, movies in the last couple of months, Walter, have been making $9 million, $6 million, $5 million each week. Mm-hmm. This has made, in one weekend, $150 million, and suddenly the box office is waking up again. Well, so that makes Hollywood happy.
That does make Hollywood happy. I can't see it because I cannot objectify Ariana Grande enough to not think she's starving to death before my very eyes.
I know.
It's hard, look at her. It's really hard to look at her. Ariana.
It is.
All right. Mateus Boom Boom in Hollywood, thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood. You can find him on Facebook. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. You're listening to Sterling every damn Sunday.
Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Oh my gosh, look at this.
Here's a story about Sydney Sweeney, who looked hot in an ad for some jeans. But then the usual suspects started complaining about what the ad actually means. They said it promotes white supremacy because Sydney was talking about her DNA. But all the normal people wish these pink-haired freaks would just all go away. Now American Eagle stock is soaring and Dunkin' Donuts.
Eight minutes past the hour. We're driving across the country, escaping from our relatives, finally having the peace of going to work tomorrow or on the late shift coming up in just 40 minutes, the late shift, the great shift with Walter Sterling. This is the time of day to go to work. There's nobody on the road. And then once I get to work, there's nobody there. I get to enjoy the magic of solitude, the thrill of being alone and just doing tasks. I'd much rather just do tasks than, you know, bond with my coworkers. I don't want to bond with any coworkers. Do you really? Do you want to have that conversation this week where you say, well, where are you going this weekend? Here's a tip. Try this. Let me know how it goes. Lie. Oh, we're going to Bermuda for Thanksgiving. We're going to South Beach. We're going to Great Falls, Minnesota. We hear it's the coldest place in America. We've all decided, everybody got together in my family and decided we're going to go to Great Falls, Minnesota. That sounds like a great place. International Falls, Minnesota. Every day that it's cold this winter, one weather forecaster or another is going to say, oh, and in International Falls, Minnesota, why, it's going to be 28 below today by noon. That passes for ad-libbing on most morning zoos in America. The height of the morning zoo holiday is April Fool's Day. Oh, we get to do wacky things on April Fool's. There are certain holidays that are DJ holidays, disc jockey holidays, that have nothing to do with our lives. They have nothing to do with our lives. They're just things that disc jockeys make bigger. It's worse than just a Hallmark holiday. It's ones that have been mutated by morning zoos, such as April Fool's Day. Not Mother's Day, no. That one's sort of almost okay, even though it was invented by a greeting card company. You know that, right? Okay. Yeah, it's not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible do you find Mother's Day. But you know, there are these holidays like Valentine's Day, April Fool's Day, my brain is blanking. And those are the holidays that don't really exist, but radio shows make them bigger. I'm not going to be making it. Oh, the other thing that radio shows do, that morning zoos do, is they make such a big deal about daylight savings time. Be sure to, don't forget to spring ahead. Don't forget to spring back. Don't forget, and then they go on and on about, oh, you know, I'm going to be exhausted tomorrow because we had to turn the clocks back an hour. I'm going to be exhausted tomorrow because I had to turn the clocks ahead. Oh, shush. It's the same thing like there are people who host morning shows, like the Today Show, Good Morning America, your local morning show, the Fox 29 morning show. And what do? When those anchors get off of that show, in every interview, every single interview, what do they say? They say, well, you know, I won't miss waking up at 2 a.m. Really? Because the school teacher who has to get to school by 8:30, she would like to sleep past 6. The nurse who's on the second shift, who has to get to work by 7 a.m., she would like to stop having to get up at 5:30. The postal worker, who has to get to work by 7 a.m., would like to stop getting up at 5:30. But when I hear these arrogant billionaires, well, you know, I'll be really happy to not get up at 3 in the morning anymore. And the $5 million a year they pay you for that enormous inconvenience, having to set the alarm 4 hours earlier than the rest of the world, you poor baby. Because then when you get off of work, when? 9 a.m.? 10 a.m.? You get to go home and go to sleep at 11. Except you know what screws them up? You know what? They don't do that. What those idiots try to do is have a normal life. You know, I really want a normal life. I really want to be able to go to dinner. Well, do the early bird special, Mr. Morning Man. Go to dinner at 5 a.m. If you're really that interesting, your friends and family would be happy to go to dinner with you at 5 a.m. But this is their craziness. 5 p.m., I mean. This is their craziness. All they have to do to get up at 3 in the morning is go to bed at 6 p.m. And I'll have 9 hours of sleep. Not a big deal, especially at this time of year when it's dark out. But, oh, you watch it. Drinking game. Have a drink every time you see a retiring, departing morning host say, well, I won't miss getting up at 4 in the morning. Shut up. Just shut up. Why don't you just take that salary and donate it to 20 registered nurses in your viewing audience? Why don't you do that? These are the things that disturb me. These are disturbing things. It's 14 past the hour. I'm Walter Sterling. Good evening. This is a very special kind of radio show because it's hosted by me. Before I was a talk show host, I was a suit. I was a media advisor, media consultant. I helped companies print, television, radio, figure out how to get more audience, how to grow their audience. Grow their audience. That's what I was paid to do. I did that for a long time. But like anything else, there was a point at which I'm like, okay, I'm done. I've done that enough. I'm tired of doing that. I did it a long time. Now I get to do this, which means you and I get to talk. And I have a phone number. I'll talk to you anytime. It's 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I look forward to talking to you. What I'd like to do right now, though, is give you a prize package, a Sterling Every Damn Sunday Night prize package. What? Yes, Rebecca Canner. Yes, for you. And Beryl Kravitz, for you. Who's this?
You presume to dictate duty to me? Have you any idea what the cost of your actions is? What their effect might be? Or you to give them hope? You give them happiness. Authority.
Oh, that is one sick kazoo. You win a kazoo in the prize package, a kazoo, a Dave Scott really cool thermos mug, nice thermos mug, a copy of my wife's book, Organize Your Way, and one other thing that I can never remember. There's something wrong with my brain. I'm Walter Sterling. And this is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Being honest here, international affairs is generally not what we cover on the Strippers on the Loose segment right here on Sterling Every Damn Night. But Gustavo Petro, he's the president of Colombia. The president of the United States, Donald Trump, has basically said, hey, this guy's committing financial crimes. So Petro opened up his books. Opened up the books. We don't know if he has several other bank accounts, but he opened up at least one bank account. And yeah, they found a visit to a Portuguese gentleman's club where the president of Colombia was spending sweet cash money. Sarah Jaramillo, obviously not a big fan of exotic dancing places, that she's part of the Medellin Abolitionist Network. And it's eliminating strip clubs, apparently. How is it possible we have a sexual exploitation crisis in Colombia and at the same time a president who frequents such places? There are things I've learned. Not to sleep with a woman for whom I feel nothing for in my heart. Not to buy sex with them when I'm out. The president wrote on X. Yep, it's he says he's still capable of seduction. Yeah, the president of Colombia. He said, if I can seduce women whenever I want, I don't need to pay for it. I went to a strip club mainly just for the wings and cheese. They've got wonderful cheese. And also in Portugal, they have a chorizo, which is muy magnifique. Generally, when you're the president of any country, going to a strip club is definitely a no-no in 2025. Do yourself a favor when you're elected to public office, even if it's mayor, dog catcher, sheriff, etc. Don't go into one of those places. That's why you have a computer. From the champagne room, no worries here. I'm Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling! Sterling every damn night.
Sterling across the USA.
Feel the dough. Eat the dough. JV Bakery. Selena and Steve.
I've been sitting here.
Sterling every damn night.
I didn't hear a peep out of them. Not a peep. Play that jingle again. Oh, it's impossible. I forgot. All right. Walter Sterling with J.B. Bakery and Selena and Father Jim Drucker. J.B. Bakery is a great retail bakery in New Jersey. It's run by Steven. And we talk to them a couple times a week. His head of marketing is Selena, also probably his girlfriend, always vague and confusing about that. And Father Jim Drucker, who hangs out in their bakery. This is the makings of a sitcom. And I keep waiting for them to say anything funny. I'm praying, Father, I am praying that one day they will say something funny, and then it will have been worth this investment. Because when I look at this mix, I have a baker who owns it, who's a great baker, the owner. And then I have a girlfriend who is has run to be the Miss Jersey contestant in the Miss America pageant. But she's also a smart cookie, as my mother would say. And Father Jim Drucker, a retired Catholic priest who was an Air Force captain. What better mix, what better bouillabaisse for comedy could I have than that? Now, have you guys decided, last we spoke, they had not decided yet where they were going for Thanksgiving. And they both have the burden, I mean the joy of the opportunity to invite Father Drucker to their homes for Thanksgiving. Where do we stand with where are you going to go for Thanksgiving?
Hail Mary.
It's looking really good, Walter.
No, no.
Go ahead, Father.
No, you're all terrible. You're all awful. Where you're going for Thanksgiving is not answered with, it's looking really good, comma, Walter. It's answered with, we're going here, period. This is where we're going.
We're going to go to my family's house in the afternoon, and I'm going to get nice and drunk, have a couple cocktails, and then we're going to go and have dinner with Stephen's family and Father Drucker, who will hopefully use his religious powers to save me from anything that might transpire.
Now, Selena, that is a proper answer. Do you have any trepidation about going to Stephen's parents' house? Do you have any trepidation about Stephen coming to your home?
No, I don't. I think it should be fine, except that there's been a few strange things that happened in the family recently. I mentioned that, you know, his sister-in-law did the makeup of one of the girls I competed against recently, and I have no clue how they could have possibly gotten connected. She doesn't do pageant makeup. This competitor would typically, you would hire a pageant makeup artist and or somebody who works with a photographer. So I don't know how they got connected. But that is a little bit strange. So then to have that happen, and then, oh, of course, everybody wants to know when we're getting married. So then there's all that stuff to deal with. So I think it'll be an interesting Thanksgiving dinner, to say the least, plus with the addition of Father Drucker.
Well, I'll be drinking Selena, a scotch.
I didn't ask you anything. Selena, will you be confronted with this relative who knew somebody who does pageant makeup, sort of, kind of, will they be there at dinner?
So, allegedly, I mean, that's what I've been told, but she hasn't been at holiday dinner. She wasn't there last year. The last time I saw her at a holiday dinner was when I first met the family.
How old is she?
I believe mid-40s.
She married?
Yes, she's Stephen's sister-in-law, so she's married to his brother.
That doesn't mean anything. People die. So I wanted to know that. In the past, when you've talked to her, did you have a rapport with this interloper?
We really haven't had many conversations, to be honest, and anything that we did talk about was so long ago. I mean, we probably talked about their kids.
Do you have a relationship with Stephen's mother?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Do you, Selena, do you have a relationship with Stephen's mother?
We do. I would say we have a pretty good relationship. I'm thankful that, you know, it could be worse. I don't see her too much, but yeah, I would say it's good.
Now, Father Drucker, based on your perception, your POV, where are you going for Thanksgiving?
I believe and hope I'm going to Ron and Celeste, Steve's parents' home for dinner, where I was last year, and it was wonderful. They made a great meal, and it's great being on there. And can I share something real quickly? This December 6th, I'm going to be giving the invocation and the benediction for the United States Marine Corps Ball at the Hilton Hotel. And in a few months, I'll be offering the house prayer on the congressional floor.
Father, there are 1,000 Hilton hotels. Which one?
The Hilton Hotel. I thought I said Hilton. In Philadelphia on City Line Avenue.
In Philadelphia on City Line
in
Avenue.
In Philadelphia, my hometown. Yes, sir.
That's a big event. Congratulations. That's a big deal.
I'm very proud. And there's a young fellow, Jim Miller. He's a sergeant major. He's 31 years old. That's unbelievable.
I didn't ask anything about this. I didn't ask about this. This is what you guys have to work on. You have to work on this. You have to work on treating this conversation like a deposition. Your lawyer would tell you only answer exactly what you're asked, and then we can move along. Until then, I have to say thank you for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. I appreciate it. They have to learn how to be radio guests. And that means when the host asks a question, you answer the question and nothing else. It's simple. Who was on before? Mateus Boom Boom in Hollywood. He knows how to do a radio interview. You answer the question and then you shut up. And coming up in a half hour, we'll have Dave Scott, an expert on UFOs and metaphysics. When I ask him a question, he answers the question, then he shuts up. But the strange extra stuff is only distracting to you, my precious dear listener. If you want to see our website, it's a great website. It's waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And I have an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Sterling every damn Sunday.
It's Sterling every damn night. He's on every damn night.
To the air without a care and does his nightly shows, and the Midnight Misfits all tune in for reasons nobody knows. It's Sterling every damn night. He's on every damn.
Sterling every night, the car horn is
episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective. A Queens senior citizen who shot dead a man who tried to rob him will now spend 4 years in prison after admitting to toting an unlicensed revolver as his lawyer ripped into the city's draconian gun laws. Charles Frommer, 67 years old, pled guilty to one count of criminal weapons possession Thursday in a deal to end his case more than 2 years after he fatally shot would-be thief Cody Gonzalez, who charged at him near his Kew Gardens home. The Queens District Attorney's Office chose not to prosecute Frommer, a retired doorman, for Gonzalez's killing after he told the cops that he defended himself from a mugger who lunged at him late at night holding what he believed to be a knife, which later turned out to be a pen. But prosecutors slapped Frommer with a slew of weapon wraps for an unlicensed handgun and for an arsenal of illicit handguns, revolvers, and rifles found inside his quiet Queens home. Frommer took the plea deal to avoid trial, where he faced 25 years in prison on gun charges that are not hard to prove, according to his attorney, Thomas Kenneth, said after Thursday's hearing in Queens Supreme Court. Lawmakers in New York City and Albany have repeatedly frustrated the rights of law-abiding Americans, New Yorkers, that possess firearms, added the attorney. This attorney is best known for successfully defending Marine veteran Daniel Penny from charges of fatally choking a homeless man who threatened subway passengers in May of 2023. If we respected people's constitutional right and provided practical means for citizens to exercise that right, Mr. Frommer would not be in the position he is in today, his attorney added. After his arrest for the 2 a.m. killing in a driveway near his home on 82nd Avenue and Queens Boulevard, Frommer told cops he'd been packing the silver revolver to protect himself from Big Apple crime. His attorney called Frommer a hero who was put in an impossible position by what he called draconian Big Apple gun laws that make it difficult for law-abiding citizens to obtain permits to carry firearms. If this was a state and a city that had its affairs in order, Mr. Frommer would be getting a plaque, not a prison sentence, his attorney told reporters. Security footage showed the alleged robber, Mr. Gonzalez, who had at least 15 arrests dating back to 2004 and a record of mental illness, continued to charge at Frommer even after the senior pulled out his gun. Frommer took the plea deal Thursday with the understanding he'd be sentenced to 4 years at his sentencing date on January 14th. Unfortunately, New York State and New York City does not provide law-abiding citizens with the right to protect themselves. As a retired member of the New York City Police Department, I saw firsthand how difficult it was for law-abiding citizens to obtain a firearms permit to protect themselves. They make you jump through hoops, go on a waiting list, and ultimately you never get the permit. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Behind the Blue Wall of Silence.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our first Florida Story, we go to Brooksville, Florida. And we're going to go back in time to 2012, where a Florida man is running for Hernando County Commissioner. It was discovered that he had had a relationship with a stripper, in which the child of the stripper was seriously sickened and sent to the hospital. And it turns out the little girl had ingested a piece of crack cocaine. Now, legally speaking, there's no crime by the Florida man, so he ends up winning the seat. And does he straighten up his ways? Of course not. This is Florida Stories. He continues being a regular at the local strip clubs. And in 2018, another investigation, complete with hidden video and lurid text, Florida man had arranged another deal with another interesting relationship with a stripper. In this one, he rented a separate house, and the stripper could live there and even have some of her friends over to make some extra money on the side, if you know what I mean. Yeah, he was basically allowing her to run a brothel out of his rent house. And in exchange for rent and running a brothel, all she had to do is let him dip his pen in the company ink whenever he liked. When the investigation became public, he resigned. And now it's been 2 years and he wants his old seat back. The only charges that stuck were misdemeanor charges, so hey, he may get a seat back. I have a feeling this guy might end up on Florida Stories again, and I also have a feeling that story may include strippers. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Vero Beach, where a woman and her young kids were out playing in the front yard, and across the street, the creepy neighbor, she's pulled her tank top down, she's fully exposed her breast, and the mom's sick of it. She does this in front of the kids. You know, she just wants attention. And now that I have your attention, you can stop being excited now. She's 56 years old, and according to the mugshot over here, it's not anything you would hope for your neighbor to do. When the cops asked her why she was topless, she said she was cleaning out her garage. When asked why she was cleaning out her garage topless, she said, because I can.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we have a word from Iggy Pop, and this time speaking on behalf of the Animal League Defense Fund. He is urging Florida senators to co-sponsor the Big Cat Public Safety Act that would prohibit private ownership of big cats, tigers, lions, other big animals like that. This is clearly in response to the Tiger King. And listen, y'all, I love Iggy, love his music, but I'm not sure if we should be making statecraft based on the recommendations of a 70-year-old recovering heroin addict who hasn't worn a shirt since 1968.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going to Largo, Florida. This is Pinellas County, where the officials came out to a domestic disturbance incident where a Florida woman got in an argument with her boyfriend. And it was over something really important. They were arguing whether the window should be open or not in the kitchen of the trailer that they share with his mom. That's right. How would you like to be 47, living with your 39-year-old boyfriend in their mom's trailer? So the argument escalated. She grabbed a hamburger, smashed it in his face. He called the cops. Cops are trying to figure out who's telling the truth. She said, I didn't smack him with a hamburger. But she got busted. There was literally a piece of hamburger in his ear. Boy, I hope those two kids work their relationship problems out. I have high hopes for them. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
What? For our next Florida story, we have a 41-year-old Florida man who's just trying to be the cool dad. He's got a girlfriend that he loves very much, and she has a 12-year-old daughter. And the 12-year-old daughter was staying with him and said, I really like your Jeep. You think you'd let me drive it? And he wants to be cool. He wants his girlfriend's daughter to like him. So, sure, let's drive the Jeep. Can I drive it really fast? Sure. So everything's going great, and he's really cool until they're going 85 miles an hour on the interstate, and a cop pulls him over. Cops don't care what the excuse is on why you're letting a 12-year-old drive. Really doesn't help when you have a beer in your lap either. Yeah, real cool dad. Got us arrested on the freeway. Thanks. Great time. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to the Hollandale Beach Police Department, where the entire SWAT team resigned over the chief kneeling with protesters. Which, you know, is serious, because if you're a member of a SWAT team in Florida, think about that. You probably get more action than the 101st Airborne. It's probably equivalent. It's probably the domestic equivalent of being on SEAL Team 6. A SWAT team in Florida? Can you imagine what these people see? Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Finally, on Florida Stories, we go to West Palm Beach, where in 1990, a married housewife staying at home during the day. There's a knock on the door. Someone's ringing the doorbell, so she goes up, and it's a clown. The clown's got some carnations and balloons, and oh, what's a special occasion? The clown pulls out a gun, shoots her in the face, and disappears. Fast forward almost 30 years, some DNA breaks the case wide open, and the cops now have a lead. Person of interest, the husband's mistress at the time, who's now been married to the husband for almost 30 years. So this Florida woman had an affair with a married man, stole the husband's affections, and then murdered the wife and married the dead woman's husband. And from the looks of it, she wasn't a very funny clown either.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to indulge in my very favorite Thanksgiving story. No, really, it's good. No, actually, it's good. Walter M. Sterling, that is my name, my email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And my phone number, live radio show, we can talk right now, 855-839-1210, Sterling every damn Sunday.
Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, it's Sterling every damn night. On the sea or on the land, what is the situation well in hand?
All right, it's Thanksgiving week with Walter Sterling live. This was the week where I had a major event that determined in many ways my entire radio career. And it was such a silly event in retrospect, but it was profound and important. You ready? I was working at WOR-FM in New York City, which was at 40th and Broadway. Now, 40th and Broadway at this time of year is the busiest block in the free world. I didn't realize that till many years later. I went, wait a minute, you know, that was the busiest block within the free world, 40th and Broadway. And there we are, 40th and Broadway at Thanksgiving time. It is packed. When you live or work in New York City, you don't even notice it. You don't realize it. It took many years later to realize, wait a minute, this is that was the busiest block in the world. The radio station I was working at, which was WOR-FM, I was the luckiest boy who ever lived. I was 20 years old, and I got a job right out of college at WOR New York, which is like one of those Mount Olympus radio stations in the radio industry. In your business, there are businesses, if you make it there, if you get to that city, if you get to that business, that hub, that retailer, you've made it, right? Well, I had no business making it at 20, but that's where I wound up. I'm there a couple months. Thanksgiving week hit, and we did what every radio station at the time did, which was a big Thanksgiving contest. This is all vanished now for reasons that we'll discuss at another time. However, the job at the time was to give away turkeys, and I had gone to a sales guy, the wrong sales guy, and I said to him, I need 100 turkeys to give away on the air. And he said, okay. And that was a month earlier, and now a month later, I get a knock on the door. There's a buzzer, the intercom's going off. Go to the door. Receptionist says, this guy's here to see you, and it's a man in a uniform, a truck uniform. He's a truck driver, and he says, I've got your 100 turkeys. I'm like, you what? Yeah, you ordered 100 turkeys, you've got 100 turkeys. Well, I didn't order 100 turkeys. I ordered 100 turkey gift certificates. And he said, if you want them, you have to come downstairs and get them. And I said, well, can't you give them to the porters in the building at the freight elevator and have them... I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do with 100 turkeys. And he says, no, I can't. What do you mean? And then I learned everything I needed to know about New York, unions, the other unions, and the delegation of labor, and about contest winners. Boy, did I learn about contest winners, because what it meant is we had already given it away on the air. We had already given away 100 turkeys on the air. This is the week that they were going to get their gift certificates. But there were no gift certificates. There were 100 turkeys. Now I go downstairs by myself to the loading dock at 1440 Broadway, 40th and Broadway, and there's a truck with 100 turkeys in it, a refrigerator truck with 100 turkeys in it, who's already double parked, which means thousands of angry New Yorkers are honking their horns. And I look at him, I said, well, can't you take these turkeys and give them to these nice men who work in the building? No, I am not allowed to leave the truck. I can't cross the sidewalk, he said. Union rules. I was so young, I didn't realize that $100 would have solved that union rule. Probably, maybe not, who knows? I looked at the porters in the building, you know, my friends, the guys I worked with and said hello to and gave them T-shirts and free CDs, those guys. I said, can you go and take these 100 turkeys off the truck and bring them upstairs? And they said, no, we're not allowed to leave the building. And there I had it, the DMZ. I had 20 yards of sidewalk, big, wide New York City sidewalk, 20 yards of sidewalk between the truck and the building that the driver couldn't go across and the building porters could not go across. But I had 100 frozen turkeys that 100 winners were expecting to have, and we had to do something with them. And what we did with them, I will share with you coming up. This is my Thanksgiving to you story. I'll share that with you coming up. But first, I have this PSA. It never burns off. That alcohol in the sauce, in the gravy, it never burns off. The Mayo Clinic did a test. How long does it take for the alcohol to burn off in a sauce? The answer is it takes 9 hours for 90% to turn off. It doesn't burn off. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Coming up in just seconds, what I did with 100 frozen turkeys moments before Thanksgiving.
Sterling every night, lost in space.
All right, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday night. We have a great contributor to the show, Dave Scott, who's a known Canadian, an expert on metaphysics, UFOs, extraplanetary adventures, secrets of Area 59. Welcome, Dave Scott. Welcome, Dave Scott, a known Canadian. Please share with us your latest on metaphysics.
Well, we have a couple of stories here for you tonight. Number one, that deal more in the UFO world tonight, as the UFO world is bouncing up and down over a new movie that was created by famed filmmaker Dan Farah called Age of Disclosure. This movie explores a near future world where governments can no longer contain the truth about UFOs, non-human intelligence, and decades of covert encounters. Farah has really built a narrative that is actually has many critics claiming that it might be Oscar worthy in the documentary category, which is actually kind of interesting. 34 people who've worked in deep state government come out and talk about this subject, from scientists to spies to people who claim to have ran UFO programs. Some of them saying that they have seen with their firsthand eyewitness accounts that they have seen UFOs and alien bodies that are being stored by the U.S. government. Now, one of the interesting parts about this movie is they actually show a clip of a what they believe is a UFO that is hovering over a nuclear missile silo. They claim that this object, whatever it was part of the ones responsible in North Dakota many years ago that was turning these nuclear missiles on and off during a very scary time. And they don't know how they were doing it. They don't know what it was, because as quickly as the thing appeared and started playing with the nukes, as quickly as it left. So it's a very interesting movie. People can watch it, I believe, both on Netflix and Amazon Prime, if you're in the U.S. So it is something for everybody to check out.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet. I plan on watching it, hopefully, as soon as I'm done with you. The issue that I have up here is a lot of times movies are released in the United States, but they aren't part of Amazon Canada or Netflix Canada. It's weird. It happens that way.
Boy, that is weird. All right, Mr. Scott, what else you got?
Well, it's an anniversary of sorts of a strange UFO encounter involving the United States Air Force. On this date in 1953, it was a cold, windswept night where radar operators at the Air Defense Command Station in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, picked up an unidentified flying object moving towards and over Lake Superior. It wasn't following a flight path, didn't have a transponder signal, and wasn't responding to radio calls. With tension still high and them not knowing what it was, and we are in the midst of the Cold War as this is happening, unknown radar contacts were taken very seriously. So at Kinross Air Force Base, they scrambled an F-89C Scorpion interceptor jet to see what it was. At the controls were First Lieutenant Phoenix Moncla, a seasoned pilot, and Second Lieutenant Robert Wilson, serving as radar operator. The F-89 climbed up into the night, racing north over the dark water. Inside the ground control room, radar techs watched two blips, Moncla's plane and the unknown object, moving towards each other. Moncla radioed that he was closing in, descending to get a visual, but visibility was poor. The two blips drew closer, until there was suddenly just one. Then that single blip vanished completely from the radar. No explosion, no debris, no distress call, no silence, no wreckage, no bodies, and no sign of the F-89 were ever seen again.
How do I find you online? Because you have the best stories, Dave Scott, the best stories.
SpacedOutRadio.com. You can find us on YouTube, Spaced Out Radio, and go check out our swag on our website. I just put up a bunch of new pieces of art for T-shirts, jackets, hoodies. I know, Walter, you love it, and our audience is going to love it, too.
I love that mug. That's the best thermos mug, because usually the thermos mugs that you take in your car are too big for any known cup holder. But this is perfectly, it is nicely designed. It doesn't have any embarrassing logo on it. It's tight. It's secure. I was very impressed with it, Dave Scott.
Well, I need your address so I can send you a Christmas present.
Or two. Dave Scott in Canada. On a cold night with Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Lesbians in space.
Guys, I don't know what to do. I, like, made friends with this girl, and now I have a huge crush on her, and I don't really think that she's into women, and it's going to be, like, hard for me to, like, hang out with her because of my crush, and, like, I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable either, so, like, I feel weird, like, telling her that, and I don't really know what to do. And she's probably going to see this, and that's really also embarrassing. And, what do I do?
Tonight. Sterling every day and night. Don't sleep tonight. It's Sterling every day and night. He'll whet your conversation appetite for a show complete. Boy, what a treat. Delivered hot right to your home, even to the eternal city of Rome. Don't download a podcast or watch TV. Sterling every day and night is totally free. Oh, what a flavor in every bite. Don't sleep tonight. It's Sterling every day.
Walter M. Sterling at 1218 on the East Coast. I was sharing this story, and I have to say hi to some Midnight Misfits who I love. Lee Harvey, welcome. Joe Gee, Mario, Karen Schwartz in St. Louis, Ted Cohn in Richboro, Pennsylvania, Carol Vale, Gloucester City, New Jersey, Richard Lucas, Rochester, New York. These are the Midnight Misfits. Lee Harvey, South Portland, Maine. Lee Harvey, South Portland, Maine, and Jack Taylor, Brummel, Pennsylvania. A few of the Midnight Misfits who listen to this show every week and regularly. If you want to be a Midnight Misfit, it's easy. You have to get an official Midnight Misfit membership card. You can download it right now. Right now and print it out. Go to Walter Sterling Show, click Midnight Misfit, and there it is. It tells you what you have to do to be a misfit, what qualifies you to be a misfit, plus a decoder card. When I give out secret messages, you'll be able to decode them, which means that finally you and I are in a club. We've been denied all other clubs. We couldn't even get into the chess club. Now we get into the Misfit Club. It's where we belong. It's where I'm comfortable. How about you? Walter Sterling. It's a live radio show on this radio station. Have you thanked them? Have you sent the general manager of this radio station a note saying, thank God this is on? Let's put this on every night. It's available every damn night. You can hear it on the Audacy app, AUDACY, the Audacy app, and click on WPHT, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Monday through Sunday. All right, now, many years ago, I was working at a radio station that was on the second floor of a building at 40th and Broadway in Manhattan. There is no place busier. And we gave away 100 turkeys for Thanksgiving. I get a knock on the door. A man in a trucker's uniform is at the door, and he says, I got your 100 turkeys. I'm like, I didn't order 100. Oh, 100 turkey gift certificates is what I had asked the sales weasels for. 100 turkey gift certificates. I scurried back to the sales weasel. I said, what did you do? Well, you wanted turkeys. I got you 100 turkeys. And that he did. But now, I'm downstairs at 40th and Broadway on the sidewalk. about a 30-foot sidewalk, big wide sidewalk, germane to the story. And there is a truck driver with his 100 turkeys that he has to unload. And I look at the guys who work in the building, the porters running the freight elevator, those guys, two or three of them standing there. And I said, could you guys unload the truck and take the stuff up to the radio station? And they said, no, we're not allowed to leave the building. And I looked at the trucker and I said, could you walk them across the sidewalk to the porters? And he said, no, I'm not allowed to leave the truck. And at that moment, I learned everything I needed to know about unions. Those were union rules. But those guys, they were in two different unions. One was like in a building maintenance. The other was a trucker union. One was an AFL-CIO guy. I'm not going to fool around with the AFL-CIO. Even though I was only 20 at the time, I knew not to fool around with the AFL-CIO. I knew you don't fool around with them. But I had a problem. I had 100 contest winners, FCC-certified contest winners, who needed their turkeys. I thought I was going to send them gift certificates, right? Thought that sort of. Now, these were $15 turkeys. I then had to call every contest winner. But before I had to do that, I had to figure out what. So I went upstairs at 40th and Broadway to the New York City program director, who was sitting there with the New York City morning man. Now, both of those guys were at the height of their powers in radio. You're program director in New York, you're a very big deal. You're a morning man in New York, you're even bigger deal. And there was me. Gentlemen, I have to get these turkeys off the truck into the building. And Al Brady was the program director, and Mike Phillips was the morning man. And these two had big hearts. They were good guys, really good guys, because both of them could have been, what the hell did you do? Screw you, we're not doing that. They could have said that, and they would have gotten away with it, no problem. But they were good guys, and they said, well, let's go get the turkeys in. And they came downstairs, and we formed a daisy chain across the sidewalk. The trucker handed the turkey to one of us. We took it across the sidewalk and gave it to the porters, 100 of them, who put them on a dolly. Now they brought them up to the second floor, which was very hot. You know, it was November. It had to be 80 degrees there, and I had frozen turkeys. What to do? By some fluke, Arthur Adler, general manager, had received a new sofa that day. God had delivered a new sofa that day, which meant that the sofa box had not been removed. It was sitting in our lobby. The sofa box. Big, thick, heavy box with a wooden frame inside because it had been a sofa in there. Had to stay up, had to stay together with a sofa. It was a wooden framed box. Let's put the turkeys in there. Now, how do we keep them cold? Well, I had heard about dry ice, even though my personal exposure to it had been limited. We were above a restaurant. All restaurants have dry ice. I went down there, I started giving them cash for dry ice. Filled up the box with dry ice, sealed up the box, and now overnight my challenge was keeping that cold. Came in the next morning early, it was still frozen. We were calling 100 contest winners, 100 contest winners, and we told them this great news. You need to come in to pick up your turkey. We have your turkey, please come in and pick it up, 100. Now, this station signal covered at least 50 miles. That meant they were driving in from at least 50 miles away to pick up a frozen turkey at Christmas time into Manhattan. They had to pay for a toll. They had to pay for gas. They had to get through the traffic to get to their free turkey. And this is what I learned about contest winners. 99 people came in and picked up their turkey. Northwest New Jersey, South Jersey, and to Long Island, into Pennsylvania, they all came and picked up their turkey. Can you imagine that? They all picked up their turkey. Not one of them complained. Not one of them said, gee, I thought you were going to send a gift certificate. No, we wanted you to have a nice turkey, one that was ready to use and Isn't this great? Have a great Thanksgiving. They were all happy. We had 99 contest winners come to the building, park their car, pay for tolls, parking, the threat of being towed away to pick up their $15 turkey. And that is when I learned about the power of something free. What did we give them? We didn't give them a turkey. We gave them a free gift. At the holidays, they won something. For the first time in their lives, they won something. And I was lucky. None of them was angry. None of them was annoyed. And I learned a lot about unions. Two unions said, no, we're not going across the sidewalk. I learned a lot about radio management. Yeah, well, let's just get it done, Walter. We'll get ticked off about it later, but let's get this done now. Neither of them ever got annoyed. And we even looked at each other and said, you know, now we've got a really good story. This is a really good story. And there it was, our lifer story. 100 frozen turkeys at 40th and Broadway at Christmas time. 100 prize winners. 99 of them showed up. It was insane. I have also learned a lot. I also learned a lot about sales that day. And the sales guy, he didn't offer to come down and help unload the truck. He said, no. Hey, I got a bad back. My back's very bad. He wouldn't help us. I learned a lot about sales that day. I learned a lot about salespeople that day. Now, he wasn't going to be helping us with that. That was not going to happen. But I learned about Al Brady Law and Mike Phillips, two of my closest friends in the radio industry forever. They were like my friends for the rest of my life. I went on to hire both of them a couple times. We worked together many more times, but it started with the camaraderie that came with frozen turkeys that weren't supposed to be there. We're not supposed to have them. And that's what Thanksgiving is, where you go out of your way to help somebody. That is the greatest gift, is when somebody asks me for help. I have learned, not at first, but boy, later in life, I learned that is a gift. When I'm asked for help, I jump at it. I'm like, yes, what can I do? How can I help you? What do you need? What do you need? The sweetest kid I ever knew was 10, 12 years ago. I was in a terrible, terrible financial jam because I had lost my job. And after about a year of not working, things happen. And I asked a friend I knew. And he was a young actor. He's like 25, but he was doing all right. He was single, and single people always have money. And I went to him, and I said, I really need some money, and I need it for my kid's birthday party, as sad and true as that was. This was 10 years ago. And he said the sweetest thing anybody could say in that situation. He got me the money. It's like $1,000. It was a lot of money. And he said, now, you know what you do the next time you need money. You know what you do the next time you need money. I said, what? You ask me. He looked at me and said, you ask me. That's a friend. Walter M. Sterling, happy Thanksgiving.
Pull up a chair, Sterling, every damn night. He's on every damn night. He'll talk so much your head will ache. Each word is a delight. Listening to Sterling every damn night.
What no one tells you is that the challenge of Thanksgiving is not, gee, how do I eat all of that? Or how am I going to put up with, you know, Susan's uncle there, who I can't stand? No, the challenge is it's much smaller stuff. It's being sat in the chair that wobbles. In my case, it's going to a house that has the small, yapping dog. You know that dog. There are many of them. But it's a small, yapping dog that, for some reason, they don't leave outside. Instead, they think it's cute to leave them under the dining room table. Have you had that experience? I'm Walter Sterling. This is a live radio show. I'm here every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And you and I are doing excessive amounts of driving this week. But those are the things that annoy us. It's the small, yapping dog. Now, being a good sport and vaguely pleasant, can you say anything about the small, yapping dog? No, you cannot. You just have to put up with the small, yapping dog and the small, yapping three-year-old. And then the constant threat of, well, do you want to sit at the children's table with them? No, you don't. And it isn't even the kids, it's the chairs. You lift one elbow and you've whacked a kid. They land on the floor and people think you're insensitive. Meanwhile, you didn't want to be at the children's table. Nor do you want to be at the adult table. And that's when it starts to sink in. Why am I here? Haven't I reached a point in adulting where I don't have to go to these? Can't we just go to Bermuda? I'll tell you, the best advice I ever got about handling the holidays was from Bill LaPorte, who at the time was the chairman of American Home Products. And he was the highest paid executive in America through the 70s, early 80s. Bill LaPorte, chairman of American Home Products. And I got to know him socially through my parents. You know, I didn't know anyone socially. I didn't want to talk to anyone socially. But my parents were annoyingly extroverted people. They liked people. They were smiley and pleasant. My mother knew if you were a great big phony, but she still would be smiley and pleasant. Whereas if I thought you were a great big phony, I wouldn't talk to you. I said to Bill LaPorte one day, he was part of an extended family. He was rich and powerful. I wanted to be like Bill LaPorte. I said, what do you do at the holidays, Bill? What do you do for Christmas and New Year with all these? You got all these relatives all over the country. What do you do? Walter, he sounded like FDR. Walter, we go to Bermuda. They're all welcome to come. I'm like, brilliant. We go to Pink Beach in Bermuda. We'd love to see them there. It was the funniest thing he could come up with, but he was right. And I have then, like the white whale, every year at this time, I have tried to capture the white whale of Bermuda. I have tried to get in a plane and go for a whopping 90-minute plane ride to where it's 80 degrees right now. It's always 80 degrees in Bermuda. Let's look. Let me go on my iPhone at 1240 on the East Coast. Let me go on my iPhone and let me see what the weather is in Bermuda. Thank you for indulging me in this. I do this from time to time to torture myself, to make sure I'm miserable, to see what the weather is in Bermuda. Syracuse, no. Sydney, Australia, 72. It's summer there. Saskatchewan, 31. Berlin, 30. All these miserable places. Syracuse, 38. Martha's Vineyard, 40. Philadelphia, 39. North Pole, it's 7 degrees right now. Sacramento, 47. Bermuda, 71. And what's it going to be tomorrow? It'll be 72 during the day. Any problems? No. Little breeze. Any weather issues? No. No, it's mostly sunny conditions till 7 a.m. in Bermuda. And you know, the best thing about Bermuda, besides the fact that all week it's going to be 68 to 74. That's the temperature all week in Bermuda. All week. 68 to 74. The beaches are really pink. The sand is actually pink. And the natives of Bermuda make you feel bad that you don't have more money. You can hear WGAN in Bermuda. You can hear WPHT in Bermuda. You can hear many Sterling on Sunday affiliates in Bermuda right now live. No problem. They don't let you rent a car. They don't have that crappy problem of tourists. You can't rent a car in Bermuda. Doesn't exist.
nor can you buy a couple vacation homes. No, you see, in order to own a home in Bermuda, you have to be sponsored by a Bermudian. And each Bermudian can only sponsor one person a year. And then when you die, your home reverts back to a native of Bermuda. Each year, the Parliament of Bermuda votes on a minimum value of a home in Bermuda. And therefore, there is no poverty because there is no real estate speculation. You can't sell the home for less than the Parliament says you can sell the home for. You can sell it for much more, but you can't sell it for much less. Brilliant. Each family can own one car. Don't have all that air. You want to solve the pollution problem? You say to each family in Bermuda, you say to each family in America, you can own one car. Solves the problem, doesn't it? It solves the problem. You can listen to this incredible radio every day from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, or the iHeart app, Walter Sterling Show, and I'm on WPHT in Philadelphia. Sterling every damn night.
The people of Walmart Sterling every damn night.
Getting that good parking spot, yeah, it's a real deal and a real struggle for many people. That's why I always park way out and just walk in, because you'll see the people just cruising back and forth, right? Looking for that perfect spot. Well, 26-year-old Rashawn Harris in Newington, Connecticut, got into an argument while trying to back into a parking spot and confronted the driver. The driver then allegedly exited the vehicle, engaged in a verbal argument, escalated to, shall we say, punches and stuff. The driver of the vehicle, by the way, was found to have a valid pistol permit, and at some point during the altercation, firearm drawn, a single round was fired. Nobody sustained any gunshot wounds, which is scary considering it's a Walmart parking lot. The shootout at the Walmart parking lot, anytime, any day, there's people all over the place. There's children. A parking spot is no reason to celebrate and perhaps join the dead. Yeah, dead people. Why'd you die? Argument, yeah, over a parking spot. Why are you in jail for life? This jerk pulled into my parking spot. I had to show him who was boss. Not good. Not good at all. So when you go to Walmart, no matter how excited you are to get the great values, to get the great stuff going on right now for the holiday season, make sure that, discretion. Better part of valor, just park way out. Walk in. Don't get into a screaming match. Don't pull out the weapons over a parking spot. It ain't worth it. I mean, it's not worth it whatsoever. And let's face it, you could go for an extra 100 steps a day. Probably wouldn't hurt you at all. For the people of Walmart, it's Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Study books, rusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dog.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, Conquering the Skies. Geneva led him to the darkened bedroom. From outside the window, lights from the surrounding city cast the small space in a muted glow, allowing her to navigate through the shadows with ease. Standing beside the bed, she turned around and put her hand up. Wait, stay there. He paused in the doorway. Why? She tugged at the hem of her blouse, but didn't make any effort to remove it. Because half the time, when you undress me, I wind up having to buy new lingerie. Ash laughed, yet his mirth soon faded. I thought it was kind of a running thing between us by this point. But if it bothers you, I can stop. Her hands dropped to her sides, and she exhaled. Most of the time, I don't mind, she admitted. If nothing else, I should be glad you still find me so irresistible after so long. His eyes glittered in the wan lighting. Always. Grasping the thin fabric, she pulled her shirt off over her head and let it flutter to the floor. His chest heaved as his intense stare remained trained on her, but he stood in place several feet away. She slid her pants down her legs and kicked them to the side before straightening. Though tempted to test the limits of his patience, she quickly shed her bra and panties and added them to the growing pile, never taking her gaze off his. A muscle in his jaw twitched. Are you done? Yes. As soon as the word left her mouth, he was at her side, one arm encircling her waist, while his other hand fisted in her hair. He slammed her body into his as he assaulted her lips with a rough kiss. While their tongues tangled together, she jerked his shirt out of the top of his shorts, desperate to feel more of him. A devilish chuckle resonated from his throat as he pulled it off, and he gave her hip a playful squeeze. Don't you think this is a bit of a double standard? He muttered against her mouth. Excuse me, I've never destroyed a single article of clothing of yours. She tugged at his waistband until the button popped open, but proceeded no further. However, if you want me to stop... Not at all. I was merely pointing it out. His shorts dropped to the floor, soon followed by his boxers. With nothing left to impede her access to him, Geneva closed the gap between them again, pressing along the length of him. He swallowed back a groan and returned his hands to her waist. As their lips reconnected, one palm skimmed up her side, rising to caress the outer curve of her chest. Sharp teeth tugged at her lower lip as his fingers sank into her flesh. The varying sensations made her dizzy with desire. Stepping away from him, she attempted to guide him toward the bed, but Ash yanked her back. Now who's impatient? He growled near her ear. Before she could respond, he drew her earlobe into his mouth and gave it a nip. One arm kept her locked in place while his free hand resumed massaging her. She made one last half-hearted effort to twist out of his grasp and end his torment, but there was no escape. Helpless, she leaned into him as his tongue traced the outer ridge of her ear and pulsed against her. Abandoning the soft flesh of her chest, he worked his way between them, arriving at the apex of her thighs. She shuddered, silently willing him to go farther. His teeth grazed her delicate skin again. It's always good to see I can still get the same reactions out of you, too, he said. Oh, I think that's a good place to stop for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Conquering the Skies, which is available at Amazon on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Walter M. Sterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative people. Music director Lee Harris. Technical wizard Dave Scalish. Operations Frank Canal. Sound mixers Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres. Voice actors James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Erotic Thrills Thea Landon, Class Act Jill Brook, and Matus Bumball, Baked Goods Steve and Selena JB Bakery, Quantum Physics Dave Scott, a Canadian, Ross Coulthart, an Australian,